Kitchen Rudimental, a series here on Blueprint for Living, in which Annie Smithers will investigate the very basics of kitchen craft. Get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Annie Smithers, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jonathan.
How delightful, although it's been a troubled summer.
It's been a very troubled summer. I think that it's all been a bit grim.
And yet the garden continues to grow. And look, we're talking gardens because here we are. We're sitting out the back in mine today in beautiful downtown Fitzroy, surrounded by tradie radio.
Tradio and the hammering.
Well, but it is a lovely and sort of mild day, which is...
always nice.
Perhaps been the exception rather than the rule this summer, but a good garden day.
It's a very good garden day.
And you've popped in from yours.
Yes.
You're somewhat more expansive and productive plot, and you brought some produce.
I have today, which is unusual, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I guess, look, if you're talking rudimentals of the kitchen, nothing is more rudimental than the things we grow and the things we cook and the importance of, you know, getting a good grip on the things we grow.
Well, I think a lot of us like to garden and a lot of us like to grow our own food, or a lot of us like the idea of growing our own food. But one of the things that I find is most, I think that I find most delightful about growing stuff is that it keeps you in much better touch with what's happening in the world, you know, seasonally. And also, you know, noticing when things have sort of gone akimbo because, the weather's been wrong.
You can't bluff your garden.
The garden doesn't bluff because all these little plants have their own technicalities and their own rules that they live and die by. You know, with intervention, you can change all of that, but I'm not into interventionist gardening.
And you have been doing this for a bit. You've now in your... second restaurant where this has been a feature of what you've done.
Yeah, 10 years of kitchen gardening.
Yeah. So you've better learned a bit.
I've learned a lot. I have learned a lot. I've learned more from failure than from success.
Tell us about your gardening establishment, and then you can tell us what's sort of going at the moment there.
Well, I have, as in sort of what my garden looks like. Well, it is a garden that we set up just over 2 years ago when I moved. And
this is near Trentham.
This is near Trentham, so it's in Lionville. Yep. So we grow things in the beautiful, rich potato soil of that region, which is very friable and very delicious. But it's also where we're situated is we are at 770 metres above sea level. Hmm. And I have discovered that altitude is a little bit like the Richter scale when it comes to understanding how much slower we are than, say, Fitzroy.
I won the Battle of the Broadbeans this year.
You won the Battle of the Broadbeans by 3 months. So my broadbeans I'm still picking broadbeans.
Okay.
At the end of, you know...
You see, it's a delayed gratification.
Well, it is delayed gratification. So when we talk about seasonality in this wide brown land, it not only changes state to state or, you know, region to region, as in a cold region or a tropical region or whatever, is it actually changes dramatically. So I'm an hour and a half away from you, but simply because of altitude and soil type and things, is my sense of seasonality is actually quite different to yours. So really, we just have to learn our own environs and go from there.
And that's, I mean, there's all sorts of absurdities in this country when we talk about weather and season, but the imposition of those four blanket European seasons on this very complex Australian environment makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all. What does make sense, though, and these are some of the things that I've learnt over the 10 years, is that things like the lunar cycle does, so the biodynamic people, will farm via the lunar cycle. And it's actually a practice that we don't farm biodynamically, but I plant according to the lunar cycle. Okay. So firstly, it gives me a pattern of what to sow this week and what to sow next week, so I don't forget anybody. So the first week, usually around the first week of the month, is the leafy greens. The second week is the fruiting vegetables, and the third week is the root vegetables, and the fourth week is the grey zone where you do all your composting tasks and weeding tasks. And you know, so it gives us this little blueprint, a blueprint for gardening, which is a blueprint for living in its own, isn't it? So it gives us a pattern to follow. And what it also helps us with is then we, when it comes to crop rotation, is we actually follow that same sequence. So after a rooting vegetable patch, we'll give the bed a rest for a minute, and then we'll start again with salad. When the salad's finished, we'll go to plant, you know, the fruiting, and then we'll go back to the root vegetables.
So where in the 10 years did this start to fall into place? How long were you kind of, you know, playing around with different ideas before you got into this rhythm?
Probably 7. But now that I'm in that rhythm, yep, it's a lovely rhythm to be in.
Which is, I mean, it's an interesting thing because people have a crack at stuff, especially for people in the city who've got a little bit of space, yep, and maybe they're trying to grow a few things that will just, you know, supplement their kitchen, or yep, the things you can pick, the greens you can put into your salad, the herbs.
Yeah.
I mean, success is kind of can be hard won. You can have a lot of setbacks. It takes a long time and a lot of catastrophic failure before you maybe get to a point where you're getting a bit reliable about it.
Look, life gets in the way too. So the thing to remember so much with fruit and vegetables is their water content. And that water's got to come from...
You've got to keep
putting it in there. And it's also, you know, nutrients and, you know, the balance of the soil and what grows well in what. And if you buy a really cheap potting mix and stick a, you know, a punnet of lettuces in it, but there's nothing for those, you know, they might work the first time, but then you put them in another time and all the nutrients have been sucked out of that soil and you haven't replaced it.
And so the things you mentioned, you know, rotation, composting, is that returning to the soil, yeah, the things that
replenishment
the growth takes, yeah, out of it.
Yeah, so plants need as much, you know, nutrition and water and things as we do, and then they thrive. But there are a lot of failures.
Annie is here fondling the leaves
of
her carrots and her beets.
Them. Wait till I start on the potatoes.
Well, we've got a beautiful little spread of stuff from your place here, which next time we're going to little pick through and sort of tell the story of each of these glorious plants. But you finally got to a stage, haven't you, after those 10 years, where your restaurant, Fermier, is pretty much, apart from the meats which you will bring in, yep, from other places regionally,
yes,
looking after itself. You're growing what you need for the table.
We are, you know, this summer has been the first time in that 2-year cycle that we're finally sort of providing almost all that we need. And I tend to buy stock vegetables and citrus vegetables, and that's really all I buy these days. And I think, you know, it is important, you know, in this sense of what is it after this sort of catastrophic period in our weather and our, you know, us burning, is that a lot of people sort of wonder what they can do. And this is something that you can do that makes a little bit of difference.
You can eat seasonally.
Yep.
You can grow some of what you eat, yep, seasonally.
Do something, anything, a pot of something on the veranda. Yeah, just to remind you that sort of, you know, all of these plants are, you know, everything that you plant and nurture is something that hasn't travelled, that hasn't, you know.
And the important thing is that it, in this sort of, especially in the city life that so many of us lead, where we become abstracted from the world around us.
Yep.
This is a point of contact.
It is a point of contact, yes.
When you wander out and think your tomatoes are a bit limp, there you are suddenly engaging with the natural world.
It's been a hot day and I've been in my air-conditioned office all day.
How are the plants doing?
But how are the plants? How are the plants in the hot sunshine? So, and I think, you know, you mentioned before that, you know, you had your beans and your tomatoes, which weren't quite doing what they were meant to. And then you start to understand, I've learnt to understand things like when it gets over a certain temperature, plants stop flowering, they stop reproducing. And when it gets under a certain temperature, they do too. So, you know, it may mean that, you know, your beans have had too many days over 40 degrees in that particular cycle that they're their little internal clock is going.
Which is, I was stupidly trying to grow some hypersensitive heritage variety.
Oh, they'll be fine. There's a few hypersensitive. Look at this poor carrot. That's a hypersensitive heirloom variety. It'll still be delicious.
We're going to look at that fruit next time round, Annie, but glorious to be beginning this 2020 with you.
Lovely to be here. I said, shake!